Hey, everybody. I'm C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tom, Tit, and Baobab.
Welcome back to Tom, Tit, and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee-inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them. C, you've been really busy this week. Can I ask you a personal question?
Maybe. What is it?
So you said you were starting a new job, but I'm wondering, are you really just one of the jurors that was selected for Trump's trial for the criminal cover-up of his fling with Stormy Daniels?
My God, it's funny. I was actually thinking about if I was called as a juror, whether I would just lie and say I could be impartial because I would love to be a person who sent him to jail, or if I'd have to like just be like, yeah, there's zero way I could be impartial. Were you thinking about that? Like, well, would you serve on the trial or would you be like, yeah, no way?
I've already made up my
mind. Because I think I can impartially say that he's a fucking
criminal. I've already made up my mind.
But like, he really is guilty. So why should people who don't understand that be on his trial?
I don't know.
But anyway, do we have to talk about him?
Actually, I didn't want to talk about him, even though you just did. I wanted to talk about the idea of what you were just saying about impartiality. I was wondering if you thought that you could be an impartial bee juror.
If Sam was on word trial.
Yeah. If Sam were on word trial. Exactly. Do you think that you could? Or do you have the same reaction as you have to Donald Trump?
No. Okay. First of all, that is insulting to Sam to an extent that actually offends me. Sam, I might have problems with every once in a while. I don't think he's a criminal rapist. Anyway.
Okay, wait. Let's go back.
All right. Sam, word trial. No, I would be totally impartial. I would have no problem about being a juror on a word trial. Why? You don't think you could?
I don't know.
What does it mean to be impartial? I would impartially tell you what I think is a reasonable word or not. That would be fine. And actually, I'm often swayed by arguments. I think I could often be swayed about, like, this is why we should include this or not. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, now that you're saying that, I think that I could, too, for Sam, not for Trump. For Sam, I might be able to be convinced that, like, he made a good choice or he didn't make a good choice.
Yes. Well, let's see what we think about his Sam's choices this week. It's time for The Week in Bees. This is the part of the show where we talk about bees from the previous week. Today, we're starting with Saturday, April 13th, and ending with Friday, April 19th. Jen, do you know what word I have strong opinions about this week and think, maybe we do have to put Sam on trial? A little bit.
There are so many choices, see. Like, is it Vanpool? Is it meadowy? Could it be bobolink?
Yeah. Well, Vanpool's been there before, so silly, but yes. Meadowy.
You did write to me and say, what kind of ridiculous pangram is this?
Yes, and you agreed, I would like to say.
I do agree, because when in the world would you ever call something meadowy?
Yeah, and as the pangram, like, I have very specific things about the pangram and think, like, it should be a decent word. I gotta tell you, I didn't love inkblot either. Like,
oh, I loved inkblot.
No, I think those are lame pangrams. First of all, I think in general, perfect pangrams are just lazy, okay? And as the only one, I think it's lazy. And then not a pangram, but let's talk about bobolink. So bobolink, which is on Thursday the 18th. All right, it's a songbird.
Yes.
I got it by guessing for a very long time randomly because it was the only word and I was watching a show that was a little boring.
I didn't even guess it.
I don't know. I just took forever. So I think, and it's an American songbird. So I like songbirds. I like the word bobolink. Like, I think it's a cute, fun word. Kind of like Tom Tit, right? Which was also here this week. Yeah. But like, why should we know bobolink? Like, why does he keep putting in so many birds that, like, you really just should not have to know? I'm sorry. I don't think that bobolink makes any sense, except that we call this thing Tom Tit, and it makes as much sense as Tom Tit does. Your thoughts?
So we could call the show Bobolink and Baobab.
Yeah, we that really could. Cute. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
But I want to defend bobolink for a minute.
Go ahead. Well, you like it because you knew it.
I did know it. And actually, it was my last word, and I was trying to get it, like, all day long. And I was out walking the dog, and my phone was dead, so I couldn't look at the phone, but I was thinking about it in my head, and all of a sudden I was like, Bobo Link. It's Bobo Link. It's gotta be Bobo Link. And I was so excited to get home and get my phone plugged in. Yeah. I can't put it in.
I understand that. But you knew it because
I did the birds of the bee. And if you ever looked at our social media, see, you would have known Bobo Link because we had a whole post about it, which I'm gonna repost. A list of birds that appear in the bee, and one of them is Bobo Link.
Wait, so had Bobo Link been there before?
It had. It had. Oh, no, gotcha. I don't know. I don't think it had been there since we've been doing the bee. But okay. It had been
and
there.
And you do agree that it is a little bit like not a common word.
Totally random and not common at all, but it's such a good word. Bobo Link. Yeah. And did you look up a Bobo Link?
I did. Cute, as always. Because, you know,
they have like
songbirds.
A big yellow bonnet on.
Oh, some of the ones I saw were just black and white. That's interesting.
The ones that I saw had like all yellow on the back of their head, and I thought that that would make you like them even more.
Well, I do like that.
Because you like yellow.
Nice. But we agree it's not a common word, so it's a little goofy.
We agree it's not a common word, but I like a Bobo Link.
Okay, cool. I want to talk about boink and bunk.
Oh, okay.
Now, bunk wasn't in there. I think the I was the middle. Oh, no, maybe it was B, and it was bunk and boink. What
this was
those...
Thursday 4/18.
Okay, so what does bunk mean to you?
It means like you hit somebody.
Yes.
Like you bonk somebody over the head.
That is one definition. What does boink mean to you?
Boink means it's like an onomatopoeia. Or
those bonk. Both of them are onomatopoeic. Boink, 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 bonk, bonk, bonk.
I also feel like boink might be like a weird slang term for sex.
It is. Now, boink is 100% sex. As a matter of fact, that is really the only definition, though then if you look like hard in some definitions, it says, oh, you could also kind of use it for bonk.
Really?
Yes. Bonk is also a term for sex in Britain.
Okay.
Not here, okay? And I almost did this for the deep dive, which is why I know so much about it. And it was so, like, it's so interesting, the history of bonk and boink. But here's what you're going to like. Okay. Both of them, it's unclear where they came from, and they're fairly
boink
new words.
Has to do with pigs.
What?
Pigs. Oink. Boink.
No. Boink. No, it has nothing to do with pigs. So boink, it seems like boink is really like Americans taking the British slam bonk. Okay. And making it sex here and just like cuter. But guess where maybe it came from? Maybe.
I don't know.
Stephen King novel.
No.
In the 80s.
No. Get out of here.
There's a question of, did it come from a Stephen King novel? Did it come from a Cheers episode? Like basically in the mid 80s, for reasons that nobody knows, like various things started talking about boinking when you talked about sex.
Was it also Christine?
No, it wasn't. I forget which one it was because, as I said,
that's
I didn't do this. But
crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, I thought you would very much appreciate that.
I totally appreciate that. Now I want to know which book it was.
Well,
or which
we'll look
Cheers
it up
episode
later.
It was.
Cheers, they were very clear about it. I mean, it's just so funny. Like, but you know, it's all these things. It's like it's unclear exactly when the first one was, but all in the mid 80s, people start talking about boinking. Like kind of out of nowhere.
That it was included in the B?
Well, it's in the dictionary. Boink is 100% in the dictionary.
There are a lot of words that are in the dictionary that are not included.
But you know boink. Everybody knows boink. I just didn't really know it was sex. I was thinking you could boink somebody on the head just like you could bonk them on the head. But
see,
apparently,
I don't think that. But I think boink, though, as like a sound, is like, to me, a bounce. Like boink, boink, boink.
I hear you, but it really means that the mattress is bouncing. Bonk, bonk, bonk. That's what it is.
It will never mean anything else in my brain ever again.
There you go. What else you got from this week?
Saturday 4/13, there was a dog in the puzzle because apparently dogs are like in vogue now. In the B.
Wait, which day?
Saturday 4/13.
Oh, what was it?
P-A-P-I-L-L-O-N. And the reason I'm spelling it is because I would like to know how you pronounce that dog.
Papillon?
Papillon.
Is that right?
It's the only way that Merriam-Webster has it said.
Oh, I just made that up from Spanish. Awesome.
Actually, it's more like, they say it more French. They say it more like papillon. I can't even say it. The point is there any way to say it Americanized?
I don't know. I didn't even know it was a dog, to be honest. I thought it was a butterfly. So
once again, you never look at our social media. Dogs.
What kind of dog is a papillon?
It's like a little dog with the ears that kind of like are long and floppy and but stick out, like they are high and stick out. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're generally a dog that I don't love, but I just think it's interesting because like you'd be having a conversation. Oh, I went to the dog park and like Keats was playing with the other dogs and there was a papillon there. Like
papillon.
You couldn't say that.
That makes me go happy, actually. Like, I like it.
Flowed.
Okay, I'm going to add that to the list of things of why should I know that? I thought I knew that that was a word and it meant something else. So now I don't think I should have to know that either. Well, so
did you know the word pillion?
Pillion. Yeah, it's an architecture-y thing, right?
No, it's a saddle.
Oh, that's right.
P-I-L-L-I-O-N. I mean, I've gotten it before.
Something else is a
pylon.
Pylon, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
Is an architectural term. But pillion, which I don't know if that's how you say it or not, has been in the B, and I've gotten that word. And I've gotten that word before, and I'm sure that I looked it up in the past and then forgot, but it is a light saddle for women consisting chiefly of a cushion or a pad or cushion put on behind a man's saddle, chiefly for a woman to ride on. So not only
so it's do like I- a little pillow, yeah, like a little
and
saddle
not
pillow.
Not only do I think that
that's like extra vintage vocab. That's like super old,
really arbitrary old word. I also think it's a little bit sexist.
Well, it's okay to be sexist. It's still a word, but I do think that is a word that we shouldn't have to know. And like, yeah. That's like 1800s vocab. Not into
when
it.
Women weren't allowed to sit on like a real saddle or their own saddle, right?
Yes.
Why was Pavlovian not a word that day? That's what I want to know.
It's not capitalized?
It is capitalized. But oh.
That's
as
why.
Soon as I opened the puzzle that day, I was like, oh, Pavlovian.
Yeah, of course. You know what word I did not see right away and was like, no. Again, I can't believe I didn't just argue about this. Mm. Theming? Theming?
Yeah.
Theming?
Theming. So I actually got
why is that a word?
First before I got nighttime, which was the other what? Program on Sunday 4:14. But let me tell you.
Why would you even guess theming? I mean, I got it because I
know,
was like,
I
oh, I guess this is a word. But
I was
it's
like,
not a word.
Theming?
You think it's a word?
It's not in Merriam-Webster.
Right, because it's not a word.
Theming is not in Merriam-Webster. It is in Oxford language. And in Oxford language, it is gerundial past participle of theme as a verb, which is to give a particular setting or ambiance to something, a venue
so
or activity.
So like you're theming in your, like when you made up your play? It's just
well,
so stupid.
So the example that Oxford Languages gives is the amusement park will be themed as a Caribbean or Caribbean pirate stronghold.
I am theming the amusement park as a Caribbean stronghold.
No, theming does not work. I get themed. I've heard that before. Like it's a medieval themed dinner theater. But would you ever say theming?
No, this was my argument. I'm just saying
I'm
it the way you just said
you.
It. Oh, well, then we're in agreement. That's a stupid word.
It's
there.
A stupid word.
All right. What did you think about ironworking?
I did not like ironworking. Nope. Did not like
it. I did not like it. So another pangrams. This is just a week of annoying pangrams. I only liked ironworking because it's so long, and I'm always happy when I get a very long word.
Unless you are an iron worker.
Right. I'm ironworking.
When would you ever say ironworking?
Today, I'm going ironworking. Hello.
You know what? Even if you were an iron worker, when would you say ironworking? So I was ironworking one day.
Yes.
What?
I'm ironworking. Yes. I like it. No, I don't really like it. I think it's weird, but it was kind of easy to find and it was long.
I don't know.
So
I found it really late and I was annoyed about it.
Oh, I find it easily and early. So I was happy about it. No.
But you didn't like inkblot and I liked inkblot.
Oh, so
Thursday.
What did you like about inkblot? My problem with inkblot, I mean, it was fine. I got it easy, but I just thought like, first of all, it's kind of ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, it's one word. Like, that was my real issue with it.
That's
I'm like,
how I
that's
felt about
word?
Non-working. I felt like that should have a hyphen in it.
Oh, I got that quick. Non-working.
I got it quick too, but I feel like it should have a hyphen.
I don't know.
Inkblot. I don't think about it as ugly at all. I think of it as kind of interesting and maybe even pretty.
Inkblot.
Because I think I about, know. Well, you know, I like ink. I like pens
I
and
like
writing.
It too.
And
I agree. And I don't like blots when you're writing. That's
no,
real annoying.
No, but sometimes you want an ink blot. Like if you're making some sort of art that would be more interesting with some ink blots on it. And it reminds me of an ink blotter. And also.
Wait, is that a one word thing? Is ink blotter a thing?
It is, but it wouldn't be in the puzzle because it's ER. The other thing it reminds me of is Rorschach test.
That's what the definition is. It's about psychological testing, an inkblot test.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not that and I like think that Rorschach test.
Just so you
test,
know,
yeah.
It is two words or hyphenated as well.
Okay, fine. But so I'm still not like
crazy.
I don't know. Maybe we need to give you an ink blot test and see if you're crazy.
I like Killabit. How'd you feel about Killabit?
I did not like Killabit at all.
Why not? I was happy when I saw it and I was like, yeah, I know that word.
No.
But it's a real word.
Again, don't say Killabit.
that's because you're not a computer person. A Killabit's a thing.
Yeah, but how often does a computer person talk about a Killabit?
But how often does a math person talk about nanillion if they're not on this?
They don't talk about a kilobit. It's kind of like a backbit versus a backbite.
No.
Totally kilobit. Down with the backbiting and the kilobiting, but not the kilobit or the backbit.
Yeah, no one kilobites. It's kilobit. All right, Jen, we do have to talk about one more word this week. And this is from Saturday, April 13th. Pianola.
I looked up pianola and I learned that it was a player piano.
Okay. So if you look up pianola in Merriam-Webster, it says, as its first definition, player piano.
Yes.
Also, weirdly, pianola was like the trademark name, like Kleenex.
Really?
But now apparently it's not. And it doesn't even seem to be used. But then the second definition is a deal or hand, as in contract, that offers no difficulty in the play. And I was like, all right, what words are those? And then I said, as in contract, do they mean contract bridge? And I think that's true, though they made that very unclear. And so—
Is this Merriam-Webster?
This is Merriam-Webster. And then the third definition is something easy to perform or accomplish. A cinch is a pianola. Now, I'm doing the deep dive this week. I was thinking, all right, let's look into this. All these different things of pianola. Try to find anything about the second or third definition and the word pianola, okay? For the second definition, I could find a website called Pianola that talked about how to play bridge hands.
Okay.
And I couldn't find anything about the third definition.
Like it's easy?
Yeah, and I've never heard it used that way. And like, I don't know why it says that because I can't find any corroboration about these things.
Did you look it up in Collins?
Okay, let's see. Pianola, Collins. Uh-oh, now I'm getting weird things. I'm getting Phil Collins music.
Wait, I got it. Okay, Collins says it's a type of mechanical piano.
Right?
Oh, it says in American English, and then it has all three of those definitions. Trademark of a player piano, bridge, a hand as a laydown that's easy to play, and something that is very easy to do or accomplish. Now, this makes it quite obvious, though, I think, how this evolved, which is that you have a player piano which plays itself, which is pretty easy. You don't have to do anything. So that would translate into which would translate into something easy to accomplish.
Well, that is a fine thought, but like I can't find anything relating to that. Like pianola cinch, pianola easy to do, pianola bridge. Like, I can't find anything on the web that ever uses the words pianola that way.
That's so weird.
I can't find an etymology of that definition. Like, I can't find anyone using it that way. So what's up?
Yeah, that's really weird.
Now, bridge players can write in. Maybe they use it all the time in bridge. That is possible. I'm just not seeing it. So very confused.
See, do you know what one of my favorite words from this week is?
Heiny, holla. Meow.
Those are all good words. But I was thinking wowing.
Oh, because you like to be wowed?
I do.
Well, then you're going to love the word of the week.
This is the part of our show where we take a deep dive into one word from the previous week's puzzles. One of us selects the word, finds out something or a lot of things interesting about it, and then wows the other one with their findings, like I did when I presented napkin last week. See, will you be able to wow me today?
All right, Jen, I will wow myself here. No, I have an interesting word, I think. Okay. What does the word cleave mean to you?
Ah, cleave to me means to like separate.
Me too. When I saw the word cleave, which was on which day, Jen? One of the days this week. Oh, it was on Monday, yep, tax day.
It was.
I thought, yeah, cleave, I know that word. And it is divide by, or as if by, a cutting blow, to split the blow, cleave the victim's skull.
That is what I think of when I think of cleave.
Love it. And I love that you could have cleaved the victim's skull. You also could have cleft. Oh, or you could have clove. How crazy is that?
Clove? C-L-O-V-E?
Your skill, Yes, your skull could have been cleaved. It could have been cleft, or it could have been cloven.
I never heard that before.
Yes, and I could be cleaving your skull.
Cloven with a cleaver.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that great?
That is great. I mean, it's not great. It's horrible. It's like a horrifying vision, but it's great nonetheless.
Yes, but that is totally what I think of it. I think of cleave. I think of cleavage, right? Yes. I think of split. Okay. Yeah. So I was really surprised when I looked in Merriam-Webster and I saw that the first definition was to adhere firmly and closely or loyally and unwaveringly.
To cleave to something.
Yes. Yeah, so they kept themselves strictly separate, each cleaving to their own language, rituals, and food. And I was like, wow, that's weird. In the past tense, you cleaved, you clove, you clave. Different past tenses. Weird, right?
Yeah. Like an enclave. Does that have to do with enclave?
Doesn't seem like it. Now, so this word is a contronym.
I know what a contronym is.
Well, you definitely should since I just basically told you, but go ahead. Tell us what a contronym is, Jen.
A contronym is a word that has two meanings that are the opposite of each other.
Yes, two words that contradict each other. Now, what's interesting about cleave is, and this is fairly unique among contronyms, cleave comes from two totally etymologically distinct words.
Huh.
So the definition that we know of cleave, the splitting one, that one comes from Old English, cleophan, cleaven, cliven, to split or separate. Also from the Proto-Germanic pluben, which also means basically to tear apart. The second definition, the adhere, cling, doesn't come about until Middle English, cleven, clevian, cliven, and means to stick fast, adhere. Okay. And also from the West Germanic, klebein. I don't know how to say that, but you get my point. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is that while all those words, I know I just said them and they probably sounded exactly the same to you, but really they come from very different roots.
Okay.
Interesting that that's why they're different words, right? That mean totally different things.
Yes.
I was then curious, like, well, what about other contronyms? You know, let's look at those. And I like that almost all the other contronyms I could find are actually just words that people like suddenly decided we'll take this word and we'll use it in a different way, like literal, right?
Yeah.
Flammable and inflammable. So oversight's a good example.
Okay.
Okay. So the word originally meant watchful care or supervision, but then people basically extended that to refer to the thing that watchful care or supervision gets rid of, errors of omission. And people use both definitions.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right? So really only cleave and then clip were the only two that I could actually find that were from separate roots.
Wait, clip?
Clip is also, you can...
Oh, because you can put, you can clip something together.
Exactly,
or
attach something or cut off. And those are actually from discrete verbs as well.
Huh.
Interesting, huh?
Really interesting.
Yeah, so that is my deep dive into cleaved or clave or clove or cloven. I love it. Cloven.
See, most of all, I love cloven.
Yeah, that
was a really wow-worthy word.
That's a good tongue twister. Wow-worthy, 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 wow-worthy.
Can you say wow-worthy words, wow-worthy word? But
wow-worthy,
I can't say
wow-worthy
it.
Words.
But it is also a very apt lead-in to our next segment.
Very true. Listeners, if you like vocab that is wow-worthy, you're going to love our unbelievable words. Unbelievable words is our gift to logophiles, sesquipedalians, and those given to grandiloquence.
Basically, it's a quick segment in which we share words that we recently learned that we think are awesome. They're usually big words, but not always, and usually extrabeicular. That is a word that I made up to mean outside of the B, as in extracurricular. C, what's your word today?
My word today is pandiculation. What do you think that is?
Wait, are you serious?
Wait, why?
Because that's my word.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
Oh my God, that is hysterical.
Oh my God.
That's never happened before.
This has never happened before. We picked this. How did we pick the same word?
Mine is from Express Writers, 34 Craziest Words in English. What's yours from?
Mine is from bigwords.com.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't even pandiculation. It was pandiculate, which I then looked up and it turns out the pandiculate's not really a word, but pandiculation is.
That's amazing.
My mind is so blown right now.
My mind is blown too.
I don't even know what to do.
I got so excited about this work because I was thinking I'm stretching. It might be uncomfortable, but it might be great to be sleepy, stretching, and yawning at the same time.
Which is what pandiculation is. And I got so excited because, A, who doesn't partake in pandiculation like every day? And two, it's got almost the word panda in it. So if you think about pandas doing pandiculation, it's a great visual.
That is a great visual. I like it. The pandas were doing pandiculation.
So let's just back up a minute. And I cannot believe we picked the same word. Okay, so pandiculation, P-A-N-D-I-C-U-L-A-T-I-O-N, as you suggested, means a stretching and stiffening, especially of the trunk and extremities, as when fatigued and drowsy or after waking from sleep. And apparently, it's especially used when referring to, like, dogs or cats stretching. So like my dog, when he stands up from taking a nap or sleeping at night, does that thing where he like stretches forward and kind of bows. And I always thought that he was bowing at me to be like, good morning. But now I know that it's really just pandiculation.
So just like Keats, we all like to pandiculate. There you go.
We can't pandiculate. We have to
Wait, I thought you said we could pandiculate.
No, pandiculate is not in the regular dictionary.
Well,
only pandiculation is.
But didn't you look up pandiculate first?
I did, and it didn't come up, but pandiculation did, and that's how I got to pandiculation.
Which is why it's
even weirder that we picked the same word, because I didn't even get to it through a normal route.
Well, what's weird is we got it from different places, and like legitimately, Jen, I had like 2 seconds before we got on, throwing up crazy words in English. I looked, it's number 14 on this list, and I went, oh, that word.
That is
like, how weird is that?
And I looked at multiple things before I picked it. That's so totally wild.
I think it is really, really wild. Then that means maybe it's time for the wild card.
The wild card is the part of the show where we do backflips, walk tight ropes, and jump through rings of fire, metaphorically.
That might be the worst description of this segment that you've ever given, Jen.
Well, it's a good thing that it's going to be one of the best wild cards of the season.
That can only mean one thing. That means it's finally time for Vintage Vocab at the Boomer Bar. Bonnie's here. Bonnie's here. Woo!
Bonnie's here for Vintage Vocab. Yeah. Glad to be here. So, first of all, I want to say that that music, our new theme music, was written by Zane.
Like all of our music. So, thanks, Zane.
Cecilia's son. He's very talented. If anyone would like to hire him,
he'll tell you he has no time. Anyway.
But his mother will tell you that he will make time.
That's right.
Shout out to Zane. Thanks for the awesome groovy music. Is groovy a vintage word?
It might be one, but it's more like a slang word that was used in a certain period of time, like the 60s or 70s.
You don't think it's still used, groovy?
It's used, but not much.
We might have to bring it back then.
Not many people.
I definitely think we should bring back groovy.
Groovy.
But this raises a question. So you just said that you're not sure it's vintage vocab, but it's from a certain time period that's probably the 60s or 70s, and that it's slang. So this raises the question of what is vintage vocab?
What period of time
are we talking about?
Well, if you're asking me in particular to give you that definition, I would say that vintage vocab needs to be a word that's in the general lexicon that people use regularly. It does have a time frame, but it's in the general lexicon. Whereas words like groovy and cool and cool beans and, you know, things like that are just very slangy to me kinds of things that people don't really use in the general vocab. For instance, one of the puzzles, you had the word macadam. Macadam is a general word. Lots of people who are of a certain age know what macadam is, but everybody should know what macadam is because macadam is used today in when they do roads. So to me, that's the difference where, like, some people might still say cool or groovy or something like that. It's not in the general lexicon of words to me.
I think that it makes sense to me. The reason this whole started is because there are words that Jen and I, being super young and so not, young, you know, boomery, we don't know these words. And then, you know, she comes to you and you're like, duh, everybody knows macadam.
Yeah.
You know, so it's things like that, right? That make it vintage vocab, like things that maybe people, as you said, of a certain age would know and not think is like a weird word.
Right. So like slang, you're saying, is not vintage vocab unless perhaps it's not a word that people know now. So for instance, Sydney, my niece, who's 17, would know the word groovy. She wouldn't necessarily use it, but she would know it. You're saying that a vintage vocab word would be a word that has fallen so out of use that she wouldn't even know it. Is that correct?
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yes, I would say that.
Okay. Jen, you got some ideas of words that were in the B recently that you thought might be vintage vocab or that your mom helped you with?
Well, I think maybe we should start off with the one that kicked off the whole idea of vintage vocab.
Ah.
And that is bollard.
Bollard.
Mom, would you like to say anything about bollard?
A bollard. A bollard is just a barrier. It's usually a pole. And, you know, they use it at traffic places when they don't want you to go into certain areas. That's just a common word that is actually still used now and that some people know, but that has been around for a long time.
So were you surprised when me and Jen had no idea what that word was?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I was like, what? It's a bollard. Like, what do you mean you don't know what it is?
And then we went outside and she was like, bollard, 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 bollard.
Yeah, I have never heard that word in my life before the B. Now I fully know what that is, but yes, that is not. So like, since they're still around, I mean, I think we would have just thought it was a pole, right? Why do you think that we don't know that word? Like, why aren't they calling it that? Did people say that around you? Does that make any sense? Like, how did you know that word?
How did I know that word? Somebody must have said it. And I probably at that point in time said, what's that? And they said, oh, that's that. And pointed to a bollard.
Right.
But like, do you feel like that's a word you've known your entire life? Like, for instance, I'm trying to think of like a good example of a word that people... Can you think of a good example, say, of a word that you've known your whole life that's like kind of a rant? Oh, here's a great one. Mahogany. Remember how your son did not know what mahogany was?
Had no idea what mahogany was.
Mahogany is just a word that like I've known my whole life. It's
because
been
of
around.
That song. But anyway, yeah.
Well, I don't think because of that song. But I just think because of the mahogany. Song. It's like a furniture finish, right?
Yeah.
So is it like
it's a tree? It's part of it. It's a type of tree that they use, mahogany.
I only know it as a furniture finish.
Well, okay. It's that wood color. It's that kind of deep red, mahogany brown situation. Yeah.
So is it like that? You feel like you've known bollard your whole life?
No. I don't think I grew up like when I was really little, like going around pointing to things and saying, hey, that's a bollard. No, I don't think that. But I do think that in my adult life, I've always known what that is in my adult life.
All right. I have a question. When you heard brickbat, were you like, oh, yeah, I know brickbat. That's something we used to say all the time.
Nope. Never heard brickbat before.
All right. So brickbat to you is not vintage vocab necessarily.
I don't even know what a brickbat is.
Ah, good, 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 good. Okay. So
what
brickbat.
What do you think a brickbat is?
I don't know. Bat made out of brick. No. A brick made out of bats.
That is all pretty much true. It's basically a brick that you hurl at somebody. Or an insult.
So it was real popular in the 70s and 80s. That was its height of its popularity. And when I was wondering why, because I wondered maybe that means it's vintage vocab. And our listener, David, said that he thought it was probably because of the Vietnam War, right? That it became popular because people were throwing brickbats.
In my general atmosphere of words, brickbat never came up. Now, I do know you could say, oh, she's built like a brick shit house.
Right.
But I never heard... A brick bat.
No, I knew that too. Do you think that's vintage vocab?
Yeah, I think people of a certain generation will know that.
Wait, I think little kids know that too. I bet Sydney knows brick shit house.
I've never heard that before. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You haven't heard that. That means a person who's like, and I'm making a sturdy face.
Is that like she's a brick house?
Shit house. Yeah. No,
but it's just a house.
No, it means like you're sturdy. That's what it means.
I have never, ever heard that. See, this is further proof that you belong to an older generation than I do, who doesn't understand technology and knows vintage vocab.
Ask Sydney. I bet she knows that word.
I was born under Nixon.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's see. Let me think of another vintage vocab. What do you think about lollygagging and lallygagging? Because we called that vintage vocab a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely. That would come to me under vintage vocab because that's the kind of word that, you know, you still use. People use that today. They're lollygagging or lallygagging.
Yeah.
You don't hear it that often, but it's been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
Is that a word that you say?
I would say it. Yeah, I would say that word. Sometimes there are people that I know who are not working very hard that need to be working harder. And I could say to them, and I might say to them, stop lollygagging and get to work.
Now, would you always say lollygagging and not lallygagging?
I didn't spell it that way for Jen when I found it for her in the
yes.
P. I would say lolly.
Me too. I think it's weird that it can also be lallygagging. I think that's a strange thing, but. Okay.
Yeah.
How about hiney? I feel like hiney is the kind of word that my grandmother said all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hiney. Yes. So, that's a totally vintage word.
Do you think the kids know it? Do kids know hiney or do they not?
Probably most kids that I interact with in my family know hiney.
Because you slap their little hineys?
No, there's a bite your little hiney thing. You know,
I
see your hiney, nice and bright and shiny. Don't try to hide it. I just want to bite it.
I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore.
I like it. I'm dancing. I like this little song.
Celia is dancing, everybody.
I like it.
Do you think that fanny is a vintage vocab?
I would say fanny would be vintage vocab because there's also the fanny pack. And so people know that and still use that today, fanny pack, and they know what that means when they say fanny pack, right?
But wouldn't that make it not vintage vocab? I thought the idea of vintage vocab is that people don't know it anymore.
No, I thought that I said that people still, it's still around and some people use it. Whereas other things like slang words, they don't really use it very much. Only a few people here and there will use those slang words. But bollard, that's still a common word in a lot of people's vocabulary. Macadam, it's still a common word in a lot of people's vocabulary. Same way with the word fanny. It's still a common word in a lot of people's vocabulary.
But people of a certain age?
No, now it's in the general population because of things like a fanny pack that has moved from generation to generation.
I'm very confused now about what vintage vocab is. Cecilia, are you confused about what vintage vocab is?
We might think of it in different ways just because we have different experiences of whether this word is common or not. And it's making me think that the next time we do this segment, we should also have like Gus on, because Sydney, I think, might know too much because she's next to Bonnie, right? But I think we should have like one of my kids on, and then we should try these words that Bonnie is like, that's a normal word, and then see if my kids are like, I have no idea what that word is.
I think that makes sense. I still want to feel like I can like wrap my brain around this a little bit more.
Okay.
So there was one mom that we were wondering if this is vintage vocab, and it's baccarat. Also known, if you're me and Cecilia, as Baccarat.
Like Burt Baccarat?
That's what I said, too.
He's vintage vocab.
That's true. If you know who Burt Baccarat is, then you're probably you're vintage.
Baccarat.
You know the
bacala. I know bacala.
Yeah, your mom doesn't gamble, Jen. This is a gambling term, not vintage vocab. That's what we're saying. Baccarat or baccarat is like the, you know, the casino game, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't know that. Yeah. I don't gamble.
Right. See.
What about piffle?
Piffle? Piffle. It's like a piffle, like, you know, a trifling thing or something, a piffle. Yeah, probably vintage vocab, but I don't even know if people still use that word.
I don't know either.
I don't think most people use it now.
So what do you call a word? Is that just archaic? Is it like vintage vocab is old words that are still in circulation and archaic is old words that are out of circulation?
Yeah, I would say that. That's a good description.
That's interesting. Okay. How about railbird? Mm-hmm. Did you know the term railbird?
No. I know jailbird.
Yes. Railbird's apparently someone who sits at the side on the races, right? Is that true, Jen?
Yeah, but as you just said, my mom doesn't gamble.
Right. So, but this is good. So there are words that are like old-timey, but like old-timey and not something that everyone would know even if you're older. Then there's words that everyone would know even if you're older, but you think have gone out of circulation. And then there's words that you think like these are still normal words. Like I know if I look at that, it's a bollard. And I know if I look at that, that's a hiney. That makes sense to me. Do you ever call people nitwits?
Oh, yeah. Nitwit, yeah. Definitely, see, that's a good word.
I'm not sure that kids don't know nitwit, see? And that would, to me, be like, because, again, the idea is that, like, adults see it, and it's a word you still use, but they, like, know it, and kids would never use that term. That, to me, is a vintage vocab term.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I think that kids could use these words too. I think, again, they're words that you don't hear that often, but have not gone out of circulation. So people still use these words. I mean, I don't even know if I would call nitwit a vintage vocab because it's so much a part of language. Everybody says nitwit.
Really? Because I have never actually said that word in my actual life. I have read it and I have talked about nitwits.
Oh my God, you should see Bonnie's face when Jen just said that she never heard about nitwits.
But I have never said to somebody, you're such a nitwit. Have you ever said that to somebody, C?
I don't know. I might be about to.
The reason why I'm so shocked that Jennifer doesn't know that word. When she was in high school, she called everyone stupid. And I said, you need to find some other words other than stupid to call people. And I would think that if nitwit would be one of those perfect words that you could use for people that you think are stupid. So that's why I would think that you would have used that. Or
I like that you didn't tell her not to call people stupid. You just told her to expand her vocabulary.
Which explains a lot.
It really does.
Also, I do know the word nitwit because I'm not a nitwit. But I don't use the word nitwit because I'm not a twit, which is another word that I don't use that I believe
I love the word twit.
It's vintage vocab.
I think so too, because twit is one of those words that I fully know what it means. See, and this is why in my head, Bonnie, and again, it's your segment, so we'll go with you, but to me, vintage, that what makes something vintage, it's a word that like some people assume, of course, you know what that is. That's just like a part of my vocabulary. But like if you're of a certain age or younger, there's a good chance that you've never heard it before. Like I am thinking that if I called Gus a twit, he would like have no idea that I insulted him. Does that make sense? Whereas like it wouldn't even occur to me that like someone would not know the word twit. What do you think?
I think you bring up a good point, because how do we get our vocabulary? Our vocabularies are all shaped by our experiences and our context. So yeah, you can grow up without ever hearing the word twit or nitwit or bollard.
Or it could just be that you're old, so you know those words.
Because they've been around for a while.
Because they're vintage. So what does vintage actually mean? Does anybody know what vintage actually means?
You didn't look it up in preparation?
I didn't. Will you look it up right now because I can't get to my computer?
What is the definition of a vintage? Vintage, according to Oxford Languages, is the year or place in which wine, especially wine of high quality, was produced. Not what you were interested in? How about the adjective of relating to or denoting wine of high quality? Oh, also not what you're interested in.
What is the definition of vintage that doesn't have to do with wine?
Oh my God.
Is there none?
The only thing that's even close in, this is in Oxford language, so I'm about to go to the other one, is the time that something of quality was produced. I mean, all of them are either wine or quality. So interesting. Now, if I go to Merriam-Webster, it is the third definition. So the first two are about grapes. The
okay.
third one is a period of origin or manufacture. So a piano of 1845 vintage. You could also say length of existence, so age. Interesting. And then interesting. As an adjective, it would be of old, recognized, and enduring interest, importance, or quality. Classic. So you could also, so, or you could be saying dating from the past, old, outmoded, old-fashioned. So you could be saying something really good. You could be saying something bad. And you're probably talking about wine.
So three things here. Number one, I think that you and I, Cecilia, were talking about it like old and outmoded and old fashioned. I think my mom was talking about it as classic and enduring. And I think that later you're going to be talking about it while drinking wine.
That is 100% right, which makes us the perfect definition for that.
When you first said, what's the definition of vintage? I mean, I didn't look it up, but if I were going to say it, I would have connected it to wine, too. Wine that has been like, what do you call it when they keep it for a long time
aged,
so that
right.
it becomes really aged. Yeah, aged. They age the wine, and the longer they keep it around, it becomes like better, supposedly, wine.
Oh, so but, you're thinking so, like me, better and better and better over time.
Well, you know, we do order up our vintage vocab at the Boomer Bar.
That's right. We must have known.
Yeah. Mom, thank you for coming and talking about vintage vocab. I think we're headed towards a common understanding.
Yeah.
But we'll have to get there next time.
Okay. I'm ready to keep pursuing this and learning more about what everyone thinks is vintage vocab.
Awesome. That was fun, Bonnie. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Mom.
And that's it for this episode of Tom Tit and Baobab.
Thanks for being with us. We hope you'll do it again next week. We drop a new episode every Monday.
In the meantime, be in touch. You can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, or email us at tomtitandbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, words you'd like to know about, and what you think qualifies as vintage vocab. Also, if you have any information about pianola.
If you like D&B and never want to miss an episode, subscribe or follow us.
Even better, leave a rating or a review. This helps other word nerds and puzzle lovers find our very indie podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.